They come out most commonly when a fairy loses control of their emotions. You know, anger, lust, if a fairy drinks too much. I know there's more. Let me think, it's been a while since I read up on this stuff. I remember the look in my ex's eyes today when he saw those wings. Game over. Today, when Eli saw the bargainer's wings, he backed off. It was really weird, and I just wanted to know... What do I want to know? Those two met? Again? And then the rest of what I say catches up to her. Wait, what do you mean Eli saw the bargainer's wings? It's not like this is anything new, I say. Eli saw them before when he came to my house around the full moon. Yeah, but they would come out when the bargainer was under attack if he needed to use them to fly, Temper says. What happened today? I fiddle with my bracelet. There was another confrontation between the bargainer and Eli, and this time when Eli saw the bargainer's wings, the whole dynamic changed. It was weird. I mean, Eli apologized. Perhaps it was because of everything I told him. Perhaps I was barking up the wrong tree. More silence. Finally. Has the bargainer shown you his wings? Temper sounds odd. Outside of situations where they're needed or where he was being attacked, has he just, you know, walked around with his wings out and flashed them like they're his newest ice? Yes, I say slowly, my stomach tightening. Why? She exhales. Girl. What? There is one instance when fairies are particularly fond of keeping their wings out and flashing them whenever they feel like it. Especially the males. She just stops speaking. Oh my God, your silence is killing me, I say. Temper, whatever it is, just say it. Fairies only do this with their betrothed. Chapter 22. May, 7 years ago. This can't be real life. An hour ago, I didn't have a date, a dress, or a ticket to the May Day ball. Now I have all three, thanks to the man next to me. I glance over at Desmond as we wait to enter Peel Academy's ballroom, and my knees go a little weak. There is a God, and he loves me, I think, as I drink Des in. I've never been particularly fond of men in tuxedos, but then I'd never seen Des in one. His white blonde hair is free of the leather band he usually wears, and it skims his shoulders. He runs a hand through that hair now, looking untouchable. And yet I swear he's uncomfortable. Perhaps it's because tonight people can see him. Ever since the two of us walked out of my dorm room, people have come to a grinding halt. Calypso Lillis, the pretty but weird outsider, is going to May Day Ball, and the man taking her is a babe. At least that's what I assume they're thinking, based on their wide eyes and lingering looks. It could also be the fact that Des simply looks like trouble, with his staggering frame and rakish features. His tattoos are hidden, but there's no masking the edgy vibe he's giving off. We make it up to the entrance and hand our tickets over, and then we're inside. I can feel dozens of eyes on us, and I realize I'm beginning to tremble from the attention. This is high school, where students excel at making undesirables feel invisible. I'd been invisible for so long, and that was fine with me. So fine. But tonight, I can already tell no one's going to ignore me. Not with my beautiful and dangerous date at my side. And not while I wear this dress with its choker of diamonds that holds the fitted silver silk taut against my body. The backless expanse of it dips to just past the small of my back. More strings of diamonds trail down my spine, holding the edges of the silk in place. The hem of the gown drags against the ground. It's a dress a celebrity should wear, or a queen, or a fairy. Not me. But I really didn't have a choice in the end. It's not like my closet came pre-stocked with prom dresses, and this was the one Des procured for me. We're only inside the school's ancient ballroom for a minute before Trisha, one of the girls on my floor, approaches me. Calypsy! She squeals, and ugh, shoot me now, that nickname needs to die.
Calypsy,
the bargainer says under his breath. Don't, I warn. If you care for your balls at all, don't. At the beginning of the year, one of the girls on my floor started calling me that because, for whatever reason, Callie wasn't a good enough nickname, and it just never fucking went away. The bargainer snickers.
Whatever you say, Calypsy.
I don't have time to make good on my threat before Trish is on me. I didn't realize you were coming, she says, pulling me in for a hug. This is awkward. Trish is one of those girls that I must have pissed off at one point in time because her hobbies include studiously ignoring me. Except for right now. I pat her back, willing her to release me so I can understand what sort of hex has been put on her to make her address me. And as Calypso, of all things. I thought she'd missed that nickname during all that time she pretended I didn't exist. And then she turns to the bargainer, and holy shit, she is giving him one hell of a predatory look. I move a little closer to him. I find I don't really like sharing Dez. It's a pretty illusion to believe that he's mine and mine alone, but amongst this crowd, he might as well be. No one here knows him. No one here has seen him orchestrate a deal or collect repayment. No one has drunk and played poker with him, or sipped tea and chatted over pastries with him. No one has had movie marathons or heart-to-hearts with him. No one here knows that he's kind and cruel and wicked and funny and everything in between. But the way Trisha's staring at him, like if she had 5 minutes alone with him, she could win him over, it's making me question my decision to come to the dance. Because maybe 5 minutes is all it would take. I really don't know, and I'm afraid to find out. I say, this is my date.
Dean.
The bargainer fills in for me, extending his hand. Trish looks moonstruck as she takes his hand. I seriously hope I don't wear that expression around Dez. I probably do. How do you and Callie know each other? She asks as Dez releases her hand. She smiles shyly like she's some coquettish little flower. I can't decide if I want to smirk or grimace at that. I turn to Dez, and I'm so scared he's going to tell the truth.
Oh, Callie and I met right after she murdered her stepfather. She's quite vicious if you really get to know her.
Dez drapes his arm around my waist and looks at me fondly.
I saved her life. At least that's how she puts it, isn't it, Cherub?
He gives me a little squeeze as he does so. His eyes twinkle as I gaze up at him. The man is definitely playing us up and having entirely too much fun doing so. I can't find the words to respond, so I nod. Oh, Trish says, furrowing her brows. That's odd. Wow, so you two are a thing? Her eyes move briefly to me before returning to the bargainer. The girl is undressing him slowly in her mind's eye, and damn it, I had a corner on that particular market up until today. The bargainer's gaze moves past Trish's shoulder.
Your date's waiting for you, Trish Claremont. Don't leave him hanging.
How do you know? Her words trail off at whatever she sees on Dez's face. She glances over her shoulder, backing away. Yeah, well, it was nice meeting you, Dean. She doesn't bother saying goodbye to me before she hastily retreats. He watches her walk away, his eyes narrowed. That was weird, I say. Weird is just a euphemism for an emotion I can't actually put a name on. Obviously, a part of me is territorial, which is embarrassing because Dez isn't even mine, but it's more than that. It's being both pleased and disappointed to be recognized for the first time in your life by someone you don't like, and it's shame that a part of you even feels pleased at something as basic as human recognition. But then again, Trisha hadn't really seen me tonight. Not as a friend, not as a threat. My existence began and ended with the introduction I gave her. Bringing Dez here might have been a very bad idea. The bargainer's lips brush against my ear.
Let's find a table. Maybe I'll even let you straddle me and pretend that we're a thing for the next girl that asks.
That's all it takes to wipe away my somber mood. My skin begins to brighten just from the thought of getting to straddle Dez, a.k.a. this siren totally popped a lady boner. Dez doesn't have time to remark on it before more acquaintances come over. And so we do that same little song and dance all over again. And again. Right in the middle of introductions to Clarice, a girl from my Myths and Legends class, the bargainer takes my hand and leads me away. I barely have time to throw her an apologetic glance over my shoulder before I'm swept off. Where are we going? I ask. Students part as soon as they see Dez.
Dance floor,
he says over his shoulder. I slow a little. Dancing is not really my thing. He gives a little tug, and what pathetic resistance I have falls away. I catch up to his side. That was insanity back there, I say, because I can't think of anything better.
That was hellacious, he says. And I'm used to events like this. Thank fuck I never went to high school.
That gets him a look or two from people who've overheard us. You never went to high school? I ask as we weave between couples. I don't know why I'm surprised. Nothing about Dez seems particularly normal, but still.
My upbringing was a little more unconventional.
Because Dez is a king of the other world. A king. I took a fey king to my supernatural prom. Jesus, all I need is the Monster Mash playing in the background to round this out. We step onto the dance floor just as one song ends and a slow one begins. I suck in a breath, about to be like, oh, ew, slow song, let's sit this one out, despite wanting to latch onto the bargainer like a koala. But before I can get a word in, he pulls me in close, one of his hands going to the small of my back where my skin is exposed. There's something oddly intimate about his hand touching the bare skin at the base of my spine, something that has my cheeks flushing. I have no idea what to do with my hands, no freaking clue. The bargainer leans in.
Put your arms around my neck, he says.
Tentatively, I do so. I've fallen asleep draped along this man, and yet this feels oddly more exposed, what with him looking down at me, his silver eyes shining strangely. I give him a nervous smile, one I'm sure he sees right through. His head dips down to my ear.
Relax, cherub.
His thumb strokes the exposed skin of my lower back, and my mouth goes dry. My eyes drop. I can feel the pull to give in to the siren. I don't have a good handle on her yet. But as the song goes on, I get more comfortable. I decide to peek up at Dez. I'm not prepared to see the tormented expression on his face. What's wrong?
Everything, cherub, he says. Everything.
Present. I stare at my phone long after I hang up with temper. Fairies only do this with their betrothed. Technically, Dez and I were lovers, but we weren't in any sort of relationship, and we definitely weren't betrothed, to use Temper's outdated word. But Dez was going around flashing his wings at other men, forcing them to back off without telling me. My blood is beginning to boil. How dare he? I storm out of my room, only to find the bargainer pacing, looking agitated as hell. Is it true? I demand. He pauses.
Is what true?
I'm almost surprised he's not aware of what I talked about with Temper. So much for being master of secrets, or whatever the fuck his title is. About your wings, I say. Is it true that you've been flashing them to let everyone know not to touch me? That I belong to you? He goes utterly still, but his eyes are bright. Around us, shadows begin to gather in the room. Alarm bells are going off in my head. It is, I say as the truth dawns on me. Carefully, he approaches me. You bastard, I say. Were you ever going to tell me? He stops in front of me, looking a little menacing, and I don't give two shits. I poke him in the chest. Were you? He looks down at my finger like I personally offended him, and then I see the corner of his mouth curl. He steps deeper into my space, his chest brushing mine.
Are you sure you want to know my secrets, cherub?
He says.
They will cost you much more than a wristful of beads.
Dez, I just want answers from you. I'm surprised to see his eyes deepen with excitement. He picks up a lock of my hair and rubs it between his fingers.
What can I say? Fairies can be incredibly jealous, selfish lovers.
You should have told me.
Perhaps I was proud to have my wings out,
he admits, setting my lock of hair back down.
Perhaps I enjoyed the way you looked at them and the way others looked at them. Perhaps I felt things that I haven't felt before.
As he speaks, his wings slowly unfurl, and with each word he says, my irritation dissipates. In its place is something more uncomfortable, something that makes my heart ache.
Perhaps I didn't want to tell you only to find out that you didn't feel the same. I know how to be lethal, Callie. I know how to be just. I don't know how to deal with you, with us, with this.
With what? He's still being cryptic, even now after he promised to tell me his secrets. He runs a finger along my collarbone.
I haven't been wholly honest with you.
This isn't exactly a shocking revelation.
There was a question that you asked me,
he continues.
Why now? I've been gone 7 years, Callie, so why do I come back now?
I furrow my brows. You needed my help, I say. The mystery, the missing women, he'd been very clear about that. He laughs, and the sound has an edge to it.
A lie that became the truth.
Now I give him a strange look. If not for that reason, then why? He touches my cheek gently.
Kelly.
It's not so much that he says my name as it is the way he says it. His wings spread fully out, the span of them stretching across his living room. The things are huge.
A fairy doesn't show his wings to his betrothed.
He slides his hand behind my neck, his thumb stroking my skin.
A fairy shows them to his soulmate.
Chapter 23. May, 7 years ago. After the dance, Des walks me back to my dorm, disappearing only long enough to slip past the girl manning the main desk in our lobby. Now he hesitates at the threshold of my room, looking conflicted as hell. Rather than question the look, I grab his hand and tug him in, closing the door behind him. I drop the hem of my dress, which I've been carrying since we left the dance, afraid to dirty it any more than I already had. It's the prettiest piece of clothing I've ever worn. I run my hands nervously down the bodice.
Thank you, I say quietly, staring down at my feet. Des doesn't respond, but I feel his eyes on me. Those wicked, calculating eyes. Tonight was something from a dream. I can still feel the way he held me when we danced. Wonderful.
The bargainer sits down heavily on my bed, running his hands through his hair. I wait for some reaction, but it doesn't come. The silence inside this tiny little room stretches on, and for once it isn't comfortable. Is something wrong? I ask. I can feel worry churning inside me. I can practically taste the bitter bite of it at the back of my throat. This can't just be the best night of my life. I don't get to have anything that sweet. Poor Callie, always on the outside, always looking in. He drops his hands from where they cradle his head.
I can't do this anymore.
He looks up at me and I nearly stagger back. For once, Des is the one with his emotions laid bare, and he's staring at me like he's been waiting for me his entire life. Maybe I do get to have this night with all its sweetness. Maybe I'll get more than just this night. Des, what are you talking about? I see his throat work as he stares at me, his gaze challenging. He pushes off my bed, standing once more. The way his jaw squares is making my heart race. He looks sinister, dangerous. He begins stalking towards me, his eyes raking over my body, his gaze hungry. I despaired that this man felt nothing towards me. Now a good dose of fear floods my veins because a small voice is whispering, "Oh, but he does," and that is the much worse fate.
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't take you away from here tonight, right now.
Take me away? I flash him an odd look. Do you have another bargain tonight? He hasn't been taking me on as many lately, not since I glamoured one of his clients. He begins to circle me.
I would take you away and never release you, my sweet little siren.
He runs a hand along the bare skin of my back and I shiver.
You don't belong here, and both my patience and my humanity grow thin.
Something's not right.
I could make you do so many things. So many, many things,
he whispers.
You would enjoy them all, that I promise you. You would enjoy them, and so would I.
I swallow, my gaze darting down to my bracelet. I can feel his magic coaxing me towards something elusive.
We could start tonight. I don't think I can bear another year, he says, eyeing me again. And I don't think you can either.
Just the way he says this is full of so much hunger. As he moves around me, I catch his hand, trying to stop him in these weird, cryptic confessions of his. Des, what are you talking about? He threads his fingers through mine, holding our hands up between us.
How would you like to begin repayment tonight?
Now there is nothing but sex and desire in his eyes. For the past year, the only things that struck me as particularly fae-like about Des were his trickery and his brutality. But right now, Des is all fairy.
It's in his words and his frightening expression. This version of him is dark and foreign. Dark, foreign, and compelling. And as he looks down at our intertwined fingers, his lips spread into the brightest, cruelest smile yet. I almost draw my hand away. Something like self-preservation keeps me from running. I have a feeling this man is dipping his toes into treacherous waters right now, and any wrong move I make will send him tumbling headfirst into it. I draw in a shaky breath. Desmond Flynn, whatever's going on, I need you to snap out of it. I sound a lot calmer than I feel. My pulse pounds like a drum between my ears. He brings our joined hands close to his lips and closes his eyes. He stays like that, unmoving for at least a minute. Long enough for me to worry. But eventually he does blink his eyes open, his nostrils flaring. And I know with just that one look that the Des I've come to know and rely on is back. His expression holds a world of remorse. "I'm sorry, Cherub," he whispers, his voice husky. "You weren't meant to see that," he continues. "I am not human for all I appear to be."
There's something singing in my blood, and I'm pretty sure a good portion of that is still fear, but mostly it's hope. I'm not particularly brave, but I decide to be so now. "Do you like me?" I ask. There's no mistaking my meaning. The bargainer releases my hand.
"Kelly."
He's pulling away, physically, emotionally. "Do you?" I push. Because I got those vibes when he was promising to take me away and make me repay him. One of his thumbs brushes against my cheekbone. Still frowning, he dips his head. He does. My skin illuminates, its glow blindingly bright, and I'm happy. I'm so goddamn happy because he likes me, and I like him, and he took me to a dance, and as far as the supernatural world is concerned, I'm legally an adult. This can work. Even though he's more than a little scary, and even though my siren would love nothing more than to take advantage of him, he's the moon in my dark sky. My dark king, my best friend. I rise to my tiptoes.
"Kelly."
I cut him off with a kiss. It's a bit of an indulgence to call it a kiss. My lips graze his, and there they linger. The bargainer's hands move to my upper arms, and he squeezes them. I swear he wants to pull me closer, but he doesn't. His lips stay rigid beneath mine, and I'm going to lose courage fast. But then he lets out a pained sound, and his mouth does begin to move. Suddenly it goes from being a kiss to being a kiss. He gathers me into his arms, his lips sweeping over mine, and his mouth moving desperately like he can't get enough. Like this is the first, the last, the only kiss he'll ever get. The whole thing takes my breath away. I slide my arms around his waist, feeling like I'm holding on for dear life. Every part of me fits perfectly against every part of him. Hell couldn't give me a more wicked man. Heaven couldn't give me a more perfect moment. A year I've waited. A year I've agonized. A year I've despaired that this would never happen. And now it is. One of Jez's hands threads into my hair, roughly gripping it. He can't hold me any tighter, and yet I sense that he's trying, to fill himself with my very essence. And here I thought I'd worry about how crappy my kissing technique would be. I hadn't imagined this, that he'd crave me like a dying man craves life. My lips part as I gasp in a breath of air, and it's like the action breaks a spell. One moment Dez's mouth is on mine, the next it's gone. He releases me, staggering back, his breathing heavy. Shadows gather around him, thicker and denser than I've ever seen them. They wrap around me, too, looking like billowing black storm clouds. But I only have time to wonder at his shadows before my eyes are drawn up, up, up. Behind Dez, two wicked silvery wings flicker into existence, the sharp talon-tipped ridges of them rising above the bargainer's head. "Your wings," I say, awed. "The only time our wings come out is when we want to fight or fuck," he'd said. And I don't think he wants to fight me. Dez doesn't bother looking over his shoulder. He's still staring at me.
"I'm sorry," he says. "It was never supposed to happen like this. I should have waited. I'd intended to wait."
"Dez, what's wrong?" I say, taking a step forward. My stomach is plummeting. I can already sense his regret.
He drags a shaky hand through his hair.
I have to go.
No, I say, my skin dimming.
I'm sorry,
he repeats.
I meant to give you more time. I never should have done this. Any of it.
Any of it? He can't be saying what I think he's saying. Especially not when his wings are still out. They've been twitching like they want to spread themselves. But you like me, I say, not understanding what he's rambling about, but hearing regret threaded throughout his voice.
I'm a king, Callie, and you're...
broken.
Innocent.
I'm not innocent. God, I'm not. He stalks forward and cups my cheek.
You are. You're so painfully innocent in so many ways, and I'm a very, very bad man. You should stay away from me because I can't seem to.
Wait. Stay away? But why?
I can't just be your friend, Callie.
I can't just be yours either. Then don't, I say, my voice hoarse.
You don't know what you're asking,
he says, searching my face. I don't care, and I really don't.
But I do,
he says quietly. There's a finality to his words. I feel a tear drip out because I know what this is. It's a goodbye, and I don't understand any of it. His voice drops.
Don't cry.
You don't have to go, I say. Everything can go back to the way it was. We can just pretend tonight never happened. I practically choke the words out. I don't want to pretend any of this away. Tez frowns. Still holding my chin, he pulls my face forward, kissing each of my tears. When he pulls away, I see something in his eyes, something that makes me think the bargainer's feelings run deeper than I assumed. That only confuses me more.
Just give me some time.
Almost reluctantly, he releases me, backing up. How long are you going to be gone? I ask. In the last year, I'd never gone more than a few days without seeing him. His lips press together.
Long enough to figure out what I want and what you deserve.
The way he says that causes panic to unfurl inside me. This is the end of something. I thought it was the beginning, but it's not. It was foolish of me to be so optimistic. What about my debts? All 322 of them. They're a lifeline, suddenly.
They don't matter.
They don't matter? This is the bargainer, the man who has made an empire off of his deals. He wouldn't just squander hundreds of them. Now it's more than just panic, I feel. I'm terrified. He's leaving, not just for the night, but for many. Perhaps for the rest of the nights of my life. His hand falls to my doorknob. And I know this is it. The moment he walks out of my life. All because of one single kiss. One kiss that revealed his wings. Never before had I seen them. The one single time the unshakable Dez slipped up was with me. That has to be worth something, right? Something worth fighting for. One final wish. My voice is harder than I imagined, more resolute. He bows his head.
Don't, Callie,
he says, almost begging me. His one weakness, a bargain. He can't seem to help himself when it comes to granting me favors. I don't know what comes over me, what strange compulsion pushes me to say words that I have no right saying to the bargainer. I only know that my very world has come to a standstill, and if I do nothing, it will fall off its axis. I close my eyes, and words from an old book flow from my lips. From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, for the rest of our lives, be mine always, Desmond Flynn. All I hear is his ragged breathing. I don't even have the presence of mind to be embarrassed. The old binding verse spoken between lovers felt right leaving my lips. I open my eyes and the two of us stare at each other. I've never seen horror and wonder share space on someone's face, but he manages to wear both. And then he vanishes in a wisp of smoke. I didn't know then that he wasn't coming back. Present. A fairy doesn't show his wings to his betrothed. A fairy shows them to his soulmate. I stop breathing. The entire world goes quiet until all I can hear is the pounding of my heart, my stupid, hopeful heart. You lie, I whisper. He gives me a small smile, his eyes shining so brightly.
No, cherub, I'm not.
I feel like I'm on the verge of breaking.
So you're saying...
That I'm in love with you. That I have been since you were that obstinate teen with way too much courage. That you're my soulmate and I'm yours. God save me, yes I am.
My knees nearly buckle. Soulmates. Yes, my heart whispers. Soulmates. 7 years ago I buried my past and recreated myself. 7 years ago I fell in love. I fell in love and I never fell out of it, which was problematic because 7 years ago my first love broke my heart. But you left, I say softly. He stays rigidly in place.
I did,
he says, his eyes sad.
But I never meant to stay away.
Then why did you? He runs a hand through his hair, looks away, then takes a deep breath, his gaze returning to me.
You were so damn young,
he says quietly, his eyes searching my face.
And you'd been abused, and my heart chose you. I felt it that first night, but I didn't believe it, not until the feeling grew, until it couldn't be ignored. I couldn't stay away. I could barely resist you at all, but I didn't want to push you into something. Not when you just escaped a man that took and took. I didn't want you to think that was all men were good for.
I can't breathe. A silent tear tracks down my cheek, then another. Des wipes my tears away, his expression so gentle.
So I let you play your game, buying favor after favor from me, until the day I couldn't take it. No mate of mine should owe me. But my magic, it has a mind of its own. Like your siren, I can't always control it. It thought that the more you owed me, the longer I could guarantee that you were in my life. Of course, that strategy came to an abrupt end the moment you cast your final wish.
Tears are still dropping down my face as I rack my brain for the wish he's referring to.
That final wish of yours,
he continues,
it was bigger than either of us. You wanted me, I was falling for you, and it wasn't right, Callie. I knew it wasn't right. Not when you were 16. But I could be patient. For my little siren, my mate, I could.
He flashes me a soft smile, his eyes brimming with some deep emotion. And I feel light as air. This is everything I wanted to hear all those years ago. And now it's making me cry harder. I thought my scarred heart had fallen for the one man who couldn't love me back. His eyes go distant.
But that wish, I was a prisoner to it.
What wish? He keeps mentioning this ominous wish and I have no idea what he's talking about. Des's focus sharpens.
Your last one, on the night of the dance. From flame to ashes, dawn to dusk, for the rest of our lives, be mine always, Desmond Flynn,
he says, quoting the binding verse I spoke long ago. My face heats. You never granted that one.
Are you sure about that?
My skin goes cold as his words sink in. You granted it?
I did,
the bargainer says, his eyes moving to my lips. He'd agreed to be mine. My brain is exploding at that. I glance at my bracelet. But the beads never showed up.
They wouldn't, since you were already paying them off. We both were.
My breath catches, and a lump forms in my throat. What do you mean? I barely get the words out.
A favor as large as the one you requested requires steep payment,
the bargainer continues.
Do you think my magic would allow you to buy yourself a mate so easily? That kind of favor requires a good dose of heartbreak and years of waiting. 7 years, to be precise.
7 years. Oh, God. The bargainer's magic is subtle. If you aren't looking for it, you'll never notice it. That entire time I'd tried and failed to move on. All that time I'd resented the bargainer. It had all been part of the wish.
Every day after your last wish, I worked myself raw trying to get close to you,
Des says,
and every day I was stopped by my very own magic, which had turned on me.
I'm shaking my head because I can't speak. The binding verse I'd spoken out of sheer desperation. As that final evening 7 years ago replays itself out in my head, I watch it from a new perspective. Desmond's. I inhale sharply when I realize how the events unfolded according to him. He'd been bound to my wish just as much as I'd been. I'd never realized he couldn't just stop his own bargains.
Then one day,
Des continues,
The magic's hold on me loosened. I tried to approach you like I had 1,000 times before, and this time the magic didn't stop me.
His silver eyes shine as he looks down at me.
Finally, after the longest 7 years of my life, I was able to come back to my love, my mate, the sweet siren that loved my darkness and my bargains and my company when I was no one and nothing more than Desmond Flynn, the woman that took fate into her own hands when she spoke those ancient vows and declared herself mine.
A sly grin lifts first one side of his mouth, then the other.
Callie, I love you. I've loved you from the beginning, and I will love you long after the last star dies. I will love you until the end of darkness itself.
You love me, I say, letting that sink in.
I love you, Calypso Lilis,
he repeats. And then I smile. My heart feels like it's going to burst. Do you want to be with me? I ask, suddenly shy. Part of me is still in disbelief. Des pulls me in close.
Callie, this may be oversharing, but I'm getting the sense that you want that at the moment.
My smile widens. I do. His eyes move over my face.
I want to wake up every morning to you, Cherub, and I want to marry the shit out of you, and then I want to have lots and lots of babies with you. If that is, you will have me.
I stare at Des with his white blonde hair and striking silver eyes. It's all laid bare. His love, his excitement, his yearning. Des, who saved my life, who is looking at me like I'm his moon and his stars. For once, the king of the night is not in control of the situation. He doesn't hold any of the cards, but he has shown me his hand. And his hand is everything I ever wanted. And now he's asking me to make the decision of whether or not I still want that man in my life. I wanted him 7 years ago, and all that time between then and now, I continued to want him, even when I knew it was impossible. Even when I hated him, I wanted him. I wanted him yesterday, I want him today, I want him tomorrow and the day after. I want him for the rest of my life. I always have.
I'll be yours, if you'll be mine, I say.
Des smiles so bright that it reaches every corner of his face. I'm almost bowled over by it.
I'll always be yours, Cherub.
And it's pure reaction, but I begin to grin back at him, even as a happy tear slips out. My heart is breaking, and it's reforming, and my whole body is lit up from the inside out. Des clasps my cheeks.
And mountains may rise and fall, and the sun might wither away, and the sea claim the land and swallow the sky, but you will always be mine.
He runs his knuckles over my cheekbone.
And the stars might fall from the heavens, and night might cloak the earth, but until darkness dies, I will always be yours.
Chapter 24. I blink several times once Des finishes speaking. That was
Mylan's version of a vow.
He still hasn't dropped his hands from where they cradle my face.
I've wanted to say those words to you for years.
He leans his forehead against mine.
Humans aren't the only ones with archaic lovers' vows.
And then Des kisses me. A kiss to end all kisses. Love is another sort of subtle magic. It can bring people together and tear lives apart. It can wash away sorrow. It can forgive. It can redeem. Des's wings wrap around us until we're in our own little world.
Truth or dare?
He whispers. Truth, I say.
Do you love me?
He asks. I swear once he asks, he holds his breath. But maybe I'm imagining things. I've never stopped. For a moment, he closes his eyes, taking in my admission. When he opens them again, they're full of so many emotions, and I know what happens next. His hand drifts up from my chest and cradles my neck. He gazes at me like I'm some archaic deity he worships. Desmond. His eyes move to my lips, and ever so slowly he lowers his head. I meet him halfway, our mouths colliding. Both his hands move to either side of my face, tangling in my hair. I don't try to stop the siren from taking the lead as soon as I give in. My skin glows brighter and I wrap my arms around him, pulling him in close. He breaks away, trailing kisses along the underside of my jaw, my neck, the juncture between my collarbones. I make a small noise at the back of my throat, and I feel his smile along my skin. His hair tickles my flesh where it touches me, and the bargainer's lips, they're moving lower, towards the valley between my breasts. We're not stopping with just kisses. Not tonight. His breath fans out along my skin, and I arch into him. He pulls away long enough to remove my shirt, then my bra. Tossing the garments aside, he spends several seconds gazing at my exposed torso. The look in his eyes is hungry. He's never seen me naked before. And I've never seen him naked before, for that matter. The realization is shocking, considering all we've done. Reaching behind his back, Dez shrugs his own shirt off, and I marvel at his sculpted pecs, his toned arms, his rock-hard stomach. I skim my fingers over each of his abs, for the first time ever feeling like I have a right to touch him. He looks carved from marble, his skin taut over thick ropes of muscle. Not bulky like Eli is, but every bit as chiseled. Soulmates. He is mine and I am his. I'm almost dizzy with joy. Have I ever been this happy in my entire life? The bargainer scoops me up and carries me down the hall and into his bedroom, kicking the door shut behind us. He lays me out on his bed, then lowers himself over me, his narrow hips nestled between my thighs. Even just that contact has me moving against him, impatient for more. But unlike me, Dez seems to have limitless patience, his gaze moving to my bare chest. His hand cups my breast, his thumb moving in circles around my nipple until it hardens. He bends down to it, his lips replacing his fingers. His tongue moves over it, and I arch into him. Jesus, he's going to make me come before we're even fully undressed. My hands move over the muscles of his back, my fingers clutching him close. His mouth trails down my stomach, his hands sliding down either side of me. The bargainer glances at me through his lashes when he hits the waistband of my jeans. Take them off. I breathe. He doesn't do anything for a second, and I get the impression he's savoring this moment. Then he moves back up and kisses me. When he does this, I feel the brush of his magic. A moment later, my pants unzip themselves and slide off. I can't help it. I break off the kiss to laugh. The man himself grins down at me, but the humor in his expression fades into something far more wicked. His face is inches from mine, his hair hanging down around his face. My mate, I say wondrously.
Your mate,
he repeats. Even this is almost too much. My heart and my body can't take so many good sensations all at once. I feel like I'm going to come apart, and when I finally put myself back together again, I won't be the same Callie I once was. I feel the breath of his magic again, and this time it's his pants that slide off. I only have a couple seconds to appreciate his black boxer briefs before they drag themselves off as well. I've imagined this so many times, yet my mind has never done him justice. Every curve of muscle that wraps around his thighs, the defined V that points to his very large cock, the way his waist tapers in and fluidly transitions to his narrow hips and sculpted ass, it's better than anything my mind could conjure. He lets me drink him in for a moment, and then he drapes himself back over me, his erection pressed firmly against my leg. I'm glowing as brightly as I ever do. Normally I have to withhold some of my powers when I make love, otherwise my glamour can turn innocent words into commands that control my partner, and I like my sex consensual, thanks. But with the bargainer, I don't have to worry about that. He can't fall under my spell the way other men can. The sensation of being myself fully and completely, something I've never felt with anyone else, is liberating. His hand touches my lacy panties.
These have to go.
The second the words are spoken, I feel an invisible hand tugging them off of me. There's no longer anything funny about the magic, not when the bargainer, Desmond, is staring at me with a promise in his eyes. He kisses my lips, softly, gently, then positions himself. I can feel him at my entrance. He pulls away from my lips, his eyes moving over my face. Again, I get the impression he's memorizing the moment. As he watches,
He pushes into me. My pelvis rises to meet his, and inch by inch he slides inside me. My lips part in silent surprise, our eyes locked together. All those years of waiting, of hoping, of despairing, it all led to this moment. Perfection. A shiver racks his body when he's fully seated in me.
Want to stay here. Forever.
My throat works as my hands move over his shoulders, then slip around his back. I want him to stay right here, too, the two of us wrapped up in each other. He slides almost all the way out before thrusting into me hard. I moan at the sensation, the sound unearthly. The smile he flashes me is pure sin.
I like making my sweet siren moan.
He moves in and out of me, his strokes powerful. God, he's staggering to look at. His brows are stitched together, his lips parted, and with each thrust his abs flex. The sight of him doing this to me is itself nearly enough to get me off. He lowers himself, his slick chest meeting mine, and his hands comb the hair away from my face. He pulls me even closer, his cheeks brushing mine, his pace slow and tender. Making love. That's what this is. He's being gentle, romancing me, even after he's received my love and found himself between my legs. This is how it might always be. Nights like this that stretch on and on into the future. My heart hurts at the possibility. True love. It always seemed just beyond my reach. I only ever believed in it because I had acutely felt its absence all those years we spent apart. For so long, I thought something was wrong with me emotionally, that I couldn't love fully, that I couldn't be myself, that I was weak. Here in this man's arms, I realize for the first time in a long time that I'm not broken, not even close. I'm his mate. He's mine. My hands slide up his corded back, then run along his arms, drinking in each one of his sculpted muscles. The bargainer bends down and nips at my breast, and suddenly I'm right there on the edge of an orgasm that's been building long before Des even entered me. As if he can sense how close I am, Desmond deepens each thrust, his eyes riveted to me. He dips down and kisses me roughly.
I like this look on you, cherub,
he says,
and knowing I'm responsible for it.
My arms tighten around him, pulling him closer as my eyes close and my mouth parts.
Don't you dare close your eyes, he says. I want to see everything I do to you.
A burst of magic courses through me, forcing my eyes open. Desmond, is all I have time to say before my orgasm rips through me. I cry out, the sound its own sort of melody. My skin shimmers, its glow reflected in Desmond's eyes. The bargainer's thrusts become faster until his body stills, and then with a groan, an orgasm racks his body, forcing him into me harder and deeper than before. As soon as he finishes, he rolls next to me and gathers me into his arms. He holds me tightly to him, like he can't bear even an inch of our skin apart. His skin is still slick with sweat, and mine is slowly dimming as the last remnants of my orgasm are replaced by a satiated exhaustion. He smells like me, and I smell like him. He looks at me, wearing a wondrous expression. His eyes are happy, so unbearably happy.
My siren,
he says.
My mate. The years I've waited for you.
I can't stop the grin that spreads along my face lying in the bargainer's arms. For the first time in my life, my world has felt unequivocally right. One of Dez's fingers traces my lips, his gaze transfixed on me. Why didn't you say anything that first day you came back to me? I ask curiously. That could have saved us so much angst. He huffs out a laugh.
If only, cherub. I wanted to, but you hadn't seen me in 7 years, were currently in a relationship, and pretty much wanted to flay my ass alive. My options were limited.
I smile a little at that. He pulls me closer.
I would give my kingdom for that smile alone.
I could bathe in Dez's words, words that normally taunt and tease and coax, words that have seduced me over and over again. Tonight, they're the sweetest serenade. I run my fingers over his sleeve of tattoos. What do all these mean? There's a rose melting into tears. There are angels and smoke and scales that morph into an eye. All of it twists and turns down his shoulder and arm. It's beautiful and macabre. Dez strokes my hair, his eyes still full of uncharacteristic softness. It's a strange look on the normally terrifying bargainer. It's a look I never want to leave his face. He hesitates before answering.
I got them when I was a part of the Angels of Small Death,
he finally says.
A brotherhood of sorts.
That has me craning my neck to peer at him. You were in a gang? I ask, putting together what he isn't saying. He smiles wryly.
Semantics. We policed the streets when the Kingdom of Night was under different leadership.
He glances down at his sleeve, a frown forming.
It was a long time ago.
He really was a thug before he was ever a king. I don't know what exactly to make of it, except it seems somewhat fitting. Fitting and petrifying. I thought you were a king, I say.
I am a king.
I thought you were always a king, I clarify.
Disappointed?
He asks. His body stiffens on edge. I never realized just how much my words affect him. I trace the lines of the weeping rose. Not at all. I like the idea that this man didn't grow up in a castle. I don't think I could have dealt with an entitled Desmond Flynn. A blatant lie. I would have taken Dez just about any way he came. I had taken Dez without fully understanding his past. But to know that he ruled the streets in the other world like he ruled the streets here, it makes me appreciate who he is all the more. There's undoubtedly a sad story behind his past, just like mine. I hug him closer. Tell me another secret, I say. I can hear the smile in his voice when he speaks.
The night I first met you, I couldn't get you out of my head.
I fall off to sleep to a soundtrack of the bargainer's most intimate secrets. In the early hours of morning, Dez wakes me up. Rolling over me, he begins kissing me, his lips demanding. I feel him hard against me, ready to go. I moan a little, the siren in me already waking up. Again, I say, opening my arms to him even as I speak. Aren't you even a little tired? I already throb from the two previous times tonight that he's woken me up. But in spite of myself, I smile like a cat that's licked up all the cream, utterly pleased. Dez lets out a husky laugh.
Cherub, there are benefits to being the Night King's mate.
My skin begins to glow all over again. Normally, my siren is left wanting, always wanting. But the King of Night knows exactly how to satisfy her, how to satisfy me. I move against him as his lips skim over my skin.
Can't get close enough to you, love, he murmurs. You leave me wanting even when I'm buried inside you.
I know the feeling. Already there's this urgency that buzzes along my skin, to touch him, to taste him, to breathe him into me and never let him go. And under all that is pure, unadulterated awe. Dez loves me. Dez spent 7 years trying to get back to me. Dez has no idea what it means to be my mate. I push him onto his back. His arms lock around my waist, and I end up straddled on top of him, my hair cascading down my back. He reaches out and takes a handful of it, staring at it like he's never seen hair before. I lean forward, my hands running over his chest and down his arms. Sweet little fairy, I purr, my voice melodic. Dez raises a cocky eyebrow at that. He doesn't even need to say anything for us both to know that sweet and little are the last things he is. I'm going to give you all your wickedest desires, I whisper, the siren thick in my voice. I begin trailing kisses down his chest, moving lower, lower, one at a time. He sucks in a breath when he realizes what I intend. Lowering myself between his legs, my mouth closes around him. His entire body tenses.
God,
he curses. His hands delve into my hair, tangling it. I move up and down, working him with my lips and tongue, my hands moving over every pleasure point until I have him bucking against me.
His breathing hitches, becoming ragged and uneven. He's not going to last long. The thought makes me smile wickedly against him. All at once, he pushes me away. When my eyes meet his, I see rampant hunger in his own.
"You do play dirty, Siren,"
he says, rolling me onto my stomach. Lifting my hips up, he rubs the head of his cock over my entrance, up and down, up and down. Gathering my hair into a fist, he leans forward, tilting my ear towards him.
"You didn't think the king of the night would just be gentle, did you?"
he says, his voice husky. His hand moves between my legs. He pinches my clit, and I let out a moan. Dez nips the shell of my ear.
I like that sound.
Dez! I lean my forehead against my pillow, panting. Suddenly, he's pushing himself into me. I can feel my inner walls giving way, making room for him. And now I let out another moan as he fills me. Once he's deep inside me, he doesn't move.
Cherub, never could I have imagined it would feel so good.
It's been like this every single time. Like the electric, restless chemistry between the two of us is finally, finally sated. Then he does move, thrusting in and out of me with gathering force. He holds me against him, my hair still caught up in his fist. I'm trapped in his arms, arching back into him. Our bodies begin to make wet, slick noises as we sweat. Darkness gathers around us, and my glowing skin is the only illumination in the room. Dez releases my hair all at once, only to tweak my nipples a moment later. That's all it takes. My orgasm shatters through me, going on and on and on. Somewhere in the middle of it, I hear Dez shout, and then he's coming too, his cock driving in and out of me. The two of us collapse together in a boneless heap. From heartache to this, life could not possibly get better. The next morning when I begin to wake, I stretch, my body sore in all the right places. Dez's arm tightens around my midsection. I'm smiling before I even open my eyes. When I do, I first catch sight of the bargainer's white blonde hair. I skim a hand through it, enjoying touching him, exploring him, even when he's not awake. His wickedly curving lips are slightly parted. Like this, he looks like an angel. He'd absolutely loathe the compliment, but it's true. Everything about him is perfect. When he doesn't wake and I begin to feel like a creeper for staring at him, I slide out of his bed. I swing by my bedroom to throw on some clothes, and then I pad over to the kitchen. The stupidest things make me smile, like the way the sunlight shines in through the windows or the sight of yesterday's bag of macaroons. I brew a cup of coffee and make my way to the back of the bargainer's house. A grand set of French doors open to a palatial backyard. A garden full of flowering vines and exotic shrubs line it. A gurgling fountain sits right in the middle of the garden, aquatic plants growing from it. Where the garden ends, land gives way to cliffs. Beyond the cliffs, a blue expanse of ocean spreads out for miles and miles. Today is a clear enough day that I can see the California coast. I think back to all those days I'd sat on the edge of my property and stared out at Catalina Island. I'd never imagined that across that water, Dez was right here, possibly staring back. Forced to stay away from me because I made a foolish bargain 7 years ago. And yet he was always just within sight. It's all over now. He's my soulmate. I don't understand how it's possible. Here on Earth, supernaturals know whether or not they have soulmates, much the same way I know I'm a siren. When we're teenagers, our powers awaken, including mating bonds. And nothing of the sort was awakened in me. But perhaps it works differently in the other world. Perhaps soulmates aren't predestined there as they are here. Or perhaps the bond manifests differently. All questions I need to ask Dez when he wakes. I sit down at a patio table near the edge of the property and sip my coffee. I glance down at my bracelet. It appears unchanged from yesterday, but as I count the beads, 3 whole rows are missing. I don't think Dez even knowingly removed them. His magic did. I notice, however, that last night didn't remove the entire bracelet. Clearly the bargainer's magic doesn't believe that one night of revelations and proclamations of love and a shit ton of sex is enough to seal the deal. It seems Dez's magic is as capricious as my siren is naughty.
I close my eyes and breathe in the briny air, listening to the crash and the sea. Calypso Lilith, I've been looking for you. I freeze at the sound of my full name and the strange masculine voice at my back. I turn in my chair and squint, staring at the sun. It dims, and in its place is a man of staggering beauty. His hair looks like spun gold, and his eyes are the cerulean blue of the sky. Some sort of supernatural. Nothing but magic makes a human look like that. A moment later, my brain catches up with me. Why is a stranger on Dez's property? In his backyard, no less. And how does he know my name? Everything about the situation feels wrong, 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 but I'm too shocked at the moment to react. My siren, however, isn't. Luminescent light ripples across my skin as she surfaces. I stand abruptly. How did you get back here? I demand, my voice ethereal. That's all I can say. Not, get the fuck off this property. Not, I'm going to call the cops. Not, Dez! He steps closer.
I told you, I've been looking for you.
He answers my question, but I don't think the siren compelled him to do so. He doesn't look like a glamored man. He's not clamoring to get closer to me, waiting for my next command, which means... Fairy. Shit. The only other otherworld creature I know looking for me is the Thief of Souls. Is this... him? He saunters forward.
You are surprisingly difficult to get alone, he says.
I back up, bumping into the table behind me. He's going to grab me. I act on instinct, grabbing my cup of coffee from the table and throwing it at him. He lifts his hand in the air, and the mug and the liquid arcing out of it freeze in midair. He extends his hand palm out, and ever so gently the cup floats onto it, the coffee funneling back into the mug. I open my mouth. Dad! His eyes narrow on my lips, and my voice cuts off. My shout now silent. I clutch my throat. What have you... I might as well be mouthing the words. My vocal cords are no longer producing any sound.
Your colleague, Miss Darling, said you were busy, but it doesn't look like you're busy.
The client who's been pestering me. I continue packing up, my eyes darting to the house. He smiles, and it's like he invented the act of smiling. It's so blindingly bright.
He's not going to save you.
The man disappears. A moment later, his arms lock around me as he grabs me from behind. I go hellcat on him, kicking out, my hands scratching at anything I can reach. I scream and scream, uncaring that my voice has been muted.
Enough, he breathes.
Magic slams into me, and the world goes dark. Chapter 25. My eyes flutter open, and I rub my head, my mind groggy. Above me is a rough-hewn rock ceiling. Sitting up, I glance down my body. I'm no longer wearing my outfit from this morning. Instead, I'm sheathed in a wispy copper-colored dress, the edges of it embroidered into intricate, shimmery patterns. Don't remember changing. I shiver. I'm cold. Really, really cold. I look around. Three rock walls surround me, and the fourth is a wall of iron bars. Imprisoned. But where? Why? I roll off the pallet I woke on. In the corner of the room, there's what I would indulgently call a toilet, more like a bowl set into the ground. Scratched onto the wall nearest me are tally marks, dozens and dozens of them. None are slashed through, and I can't decide if that's because the last prisoner intentionally tallied the days this way, or if several separate prisoners began tallying and never made it past 4. I notice the bastard that took me is nowhere to be seen. Was he the Thief of Souls or someone else entirely? He never even attempted to explain himself or his motives. I make my way to the front of my cell, ignoring the sour taste at the back of my throat, the taste of residual magic. My eyes are fixated on the sight across from me. A cavern of prison cells are cut into the shale, row after row, level after level. They extend as far as I can see in all directions, up, down, left, right. Inside each is a woman dressed similarly to me. Goosebumps break out along my skin. It looks just like my vision.
Are these the missing women? If so, then I'm totally fucked. Des hasn't figured the mystery out, and it's been ongoing for nearly a decade. I'm not holding my breath that that'll change simply because I'm here. Where is Des? What must